Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. When Jason asked me to do this the other day, I asked him if there was just going to be one of us, if there was going to be, you know, a couple of us, or, well, he said he was planning on just one of us. I said, well, are you expecting me to do a 15, 20-minute talk, or are you expecting me to preach till they start falling out of the windows? So he said, well, it's up to me to decide, so I think we'll refrain from the preach until you fall out of the windows. So Matthew 6 is where we're going to start out at this morning. Tony's devotions kind of went right along with what I was thinking of sharing this morning. The thought that I guess I was going after this morning is, how do we serve God? So we're supposed to serve God. So, you know, how do we go about doing that? Is it just, you know, the way we go to church Sunday morning? Is it the way we, you know, when we think of serving God, what are our goals for doing that? Do we automatically, our brains go to someone that's on the mission field, someone that's serving in a children's home somewhere, someone serving at Faith Mission, someone, our preachers, what is it do we think of when we think of serving God? So Matthew 6, 19 to 24, we all know this is talking about getting our treasures in heaven. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And verse 24 is really the verse I wanted. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, so where I guess I'm going to go this morning a little bit is down the line of, we cannot serve God and man, is what this is talking about. So we cannot serve God and the world. We cannot serve God and our flesh. We cannot serve God and serve only our job. So, how do we live? How are we going to live life? How are we going to determine whether we're serving God or whether we're serving man? 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 13. I don't think I'm going to read these verses. You can turn there if you want to. It's standards for church leaders. And I don't know, somewhere in the back of my foggy brain, someone recently read these verses talking about them with the deacon's ordination coming up, and brought out the fact of that we... The qualifications here are for leaders, but why would we not make sure they're qualifications in our lives? So as we serve God, do we say, oh, well, you know, these qualifications only apply to the preachers, or do they apply to us as individuals? And I think they apply to us as individuals. A few things I'm going to pick out. A bishop's supposed to be blameless. He's supposed to be a husband of one wife. He's supposed to be sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, nor greedy, of filthy lucre, patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Some more good report. Deacons are not supposed to be double-tongued, not given to wine, not given greedy of filthy lucre. Those two were given twice there. It's talking, both of them talked about the wives. We're supposed to be sober, faithful, ruling our children right. Husbands of one wife. So what of these qualifications are we not supposed to be having in our lives today? I think they're all supposed to be there. So as we go about life serving God, there's a lot of things that our lives speak whether we're serving God or not. It doesn't really matter as much whether we're in Guatemala, Kenya, as much as are we serving God where we are right now. Romans 12 is another verse. Romans 12. Ten to 21. Be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wiser in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, we see this here is actually Paul writing, and he's talking about personal responsibilities. So a lot of these things that we read there in 1 Timothy are also listed here in these verses. The part of this that I am wanting to bring out, and I'll have another verse about this, it says, not slothful in business. So now we see, as one of the qualifications for our life of serving Christ is our business. So how do we make sure that the way we run our business, or whether we work for someone, whatever, how do we bring that in and serve Christ, serve God in the way we do that? Something that came to my mind here, we had a dealer of mine called me the other day and said they were having trouble with a feeder they sold, and wondered if I would be willing to go fix it, because they felt like, yeah, they assumed it was my problem, and I kind of assumed that maybe it was. So I agreed to go fix it. They wanted me to pay for half the feed that ran out of the bottom of the feeder, and I said I would. And I had to think, you know, years ago, it had been easy for me to get upset about that. But when I realized, you know, what is most important in life, is it our Is it money, or is it trying to keep a relationship good? Anyway, long story short, I got up, fixed the feeder, and it actually wasn't my problem. It was actually the dealer, when they loaded it or something, they had actually messed the feeder up. They didn't load it right. Anyway, but I went up and, you know, I fixed it. How, you know, it would have been easy for me to say, well, you know, just, anyway, get all whatever, upset about it or whatever. Can I show Christ's love in the way I relate to individuals? When it's not my problem, whether it is my problem or whether it's not my problem, can I show Christ's love? Can I show the way I talk, the way I do business, the way I represent my product, whatever it is? Are we serving Christ in our job? When we meet a customer that's extremely cantankerous, is it easy for me to get upset? For me to feel like saying things that I shouldn't say to him? The nice ones, oh yeah, it's easy to, you know, talk to someone. I had a customer call me the other day, and he told me in no uncertain terms that the way we build 95% of our feeders wasn't the right way to do it. And I hope my response back to him, that's something that I remembered this morning. I hope my response back to him was not affected by how I was feeling towards him, because I was ticked. I was seriously ticked. I mean, he was just, anyway, can I allow God to rule my words when something happens and I'm upset? Or do I make remarks that are not kind or not nice, whatever it is? And I am, this stood out to me probably because of some things that has happened recently in my life. It's easy for me to think serving God is, I'm going to refer to it as a church issue. It's kind of the way we go to church, the way we, you know, witness to people, the way we, you know, go on the mission field, whatever it is. But can I bring it home? Can I bring it home and say, this is serving God? Can I look at something when someone don't treat me right in business, in life? Can I respond right, because that is serving God? The next verse I was going to look at was Luke 6, 43-45. This is talking about fruit, kind of has to do with what I was just talking about. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruits. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So there in these verses here, we're definitely seeing that our fruit that we produce is a sign of what our heart is. So are we, you know, if we're taping apples on the tree, Joe had talked about that in a message here a while ago. If we're taping apples on a tree to make it look like apples, eventually the apples will be rotten. We need to make sure that our lives are our lives are growing fruit that would show God's love to others. Because it says here, you know, you don't gather figs. You don't gather figs of thorn bushes, and you don't gather grapes of brambles. Nor do you get thorns when you go to a fig tree to get figs. I've often wondered why something as pretty as roses have thorns on them, but I'm sure there's lessons in that too. But we do not, when we go somewhere, to whether you go shopping, whether whatever it is, when you go somewhere, you just expect something. Okay, say the other day we were shopping and we were marching down this aisle, and I pulled something off the shelf and three other things fell down, and I'm convinced that those people, somebody had put that stuff there because it did not belong in that department at all. It was from somewhere totally else in the store. Well, how did I know that? Because the store put certain stuff in certain places. Now, they don't always put stuff in the places I think they should, but anyway. We kind of just expect that. We kind of expect to go somewhere and find what we want based on what is around that thing. 1 Timothy 5:8 is another verse that I've got here. And this verse here definitely brings in the work into our lives. Verse 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And the phrase I guess I wanted to pick out of that, he hath denied the faith. And I figure he's talking about our living for God. So here it's calling us, as Christians, we are to provide for our own. We are supposed to provide for our household. That is a commandment. So as we go through life, can we tie in our business, our work, whether we work for ourselves or whether we work for somebody else, can we tie that in to living for Christ? I came from Pennsylvania where there was Mennonites of all kinds and flavors and shapes and sizes. And in Pennsylvania, Mennonite, being a Mennonite, did not put you out there on a limb by yourselves. You could basically be a Mennonite and pretty much do anything you wanted to, because there was Mennonite somewhere you could fit into a Mennonite church that was, you know, doing that. So it wasn't really black and white. Down here, you find out that when people talk about Strawberry Mennonite, they are talking about a certain church. They either know somebody. It just awes me how people around here know who the Mennonites are. And people that you've never met, people you have no clue who they are, they sure as all know who you are. And they expect certain things out of you because of the relationship. For an example, when I bought the feeder business from Phil, a lot of people when they first called me, would say, well, they bought a feeder from, you know, up here in Strawberry. I said, well, we're different. We still build the same feeder, but it's, I bought it from a guy from church. Oh, well, you know, that's fine. You know, I know, you know, if you bought it from Phil, you know, I'm sure you still build a good feeder. So Phil, the way Phil did business affects my life. So the way Tony hangs a garage door will affect, since Tony used me, I'm going to use him. The way Tony hangs a garage door affects the way that customer looks at Joe, because they know Joe and Tony, well, maybe. It's possible that they know they go to the same church. So when I go somewhere and I do something, their opinion of that is based off of how that person was treated from this other person. So when I had a guy the other day I did some fencing for, same deal. I told him that I actually, you know, Aaron and I had worked together some on it. And he said, well, you know, Aaron recommended me to you, so I know that you're going to do a good job because Aaron recommended me. Recommended you to me. And so there, Aaron's life was determining how that person viewed me. Now, if I make a mistake, and something in the way I relate to someone may make a difference in how that person relates to someone else down the road. So, definitely serving God. We can serve God in our work in the U.S., and relate to our work, to our job, and the people in the U.S. as much as a mission field as someone in Guatemala, someone in Kenya, wherever. The people around here may know more about the Mennonites than in some places like that, but I think we are called as Christians to serve right here, right now, in our work. We go around something that I struggle a lot with, and it's something sometimes I wonder if I'll ever get better at it, and that is my driving. I tend to just go fast everywhere I go. Whether I'm in a hurry, whether I'm not in a hurry, I'm getting her there. And when people around me see this vehicle, they know who it is. Whoom! Up the road he goes, and he roars into church. And do they set their idea of the church based on the way I drive? Do they look at everyone here based on the way I do business, the way I drive, the way I talk, the way I look, the way I act? People are watching, people are looking, and people see and people draw conclusions, and they decide how others are based on their opinion of me. And that's a challenge to me. Can I faithfully serve God in a way that if the whole church was like me, what would this church be? We'd have some fast drivers, that's for sure. Anyway, that's something that, I've, you can ask my wife, she'd probably tell you. I've come a long way on that, but it's something that I'm still working on. It's something, especially if I'm under pressure, if I'm in a hurry, it's very easy to think that driving 10 mile an hour faster is going to get me there just a lot, lot faster. And if you ever do the math on how many seconds you save in going a 10-minute drive, driving 10 mile an hour is not going to get you there that much faster. But anyway, so one thing that stood out to me this morning, I was sitting there and I was studying for this morning, and my brother-in-law put something on his status that kind of jumped out at me. And it was this: God can make anything out of nothing. We all agree that. God did. He made something, and it went along. It actually kind of stood out to me, partly because I don't know if any of you read the Beside the Still Waters. I believe it was for this morning, anyhow. It talked about some scientists having a conversation with God, and they decided they were going to make a human being. And God asked the scientists how they were going to make them. And the scientists said, well, we were going to make them out of dust because it seemed like that worked pretty good for you, so surely we can do that too. God asked them, so who made the dust? And that kind of, yeah, that thought, God can make anything out of nothing. The last part of the comment is, but God will not make anything out of me, you, us, until we become nothing. So do we as humans want to be something. We want to succeed. Especially, at least for me anyhow, it's that way. Especially, I think maybe that's more of a man problem. But we want to succeed, whether it's in business, whether it's in whatever. You know, we want to be, if we're playing ball, we want to be a good hitter, we want to be a good catcher, we want to be whatever, a good shortstop, whatever, good first baseman. Whatever we do, we want to succeed, we want to be good. That's just natural. So for us to become nothing is kind of hard for us. But God cannot do anything with us until we become nothing. Once we become nothing, then God can work in our lives, and in working in our lives, we will serve God in every area of our life. Whether it's working with our wife, our children, our job, our work, whatever it is, once we become nothing and God is using us, we will serve Him right here, right now, in whatever we're doing. We don't have to be on the forefront. We don't have to be up front preaching. We don't have to be whatever. Can we find serving God in the back quietly, whether it's Sunday school teacher, whether it's whatever it is, can we allow God to work in our lives and affect every choice we make and everything we say, the way we relate to people, and everything? So, I think that's all I have. As I thought over my life and as I thought over... So often my idea of serving God is somewhere out there, somewhere mission field. But my goal is to serve God right here, right now, quietly, and do my best and allow God to work through me to be a witness. Now, that's all I have. Let's stand for prayer.